Yeah.
Hey, everybody. It is Libby with Fearlessness. What is fearlessness? It's that underlying grit that we have as entrepreneurs that help us forge ahead. Even when hope seems distant, it's the courage to walk through those fires of hell, knowing that we'll come out stronger on the other side. Stay tuned and learn how to get fearlessness. I'm your host, Libby DeLucien, and we have a special guest today. Vitaly, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, Vitaly with Simple Lawns and Landscape Design. We're located out here in Vancouver, Washington. We work both Vancouver, Washington, Portland, Oregon. We are about a $3.5 million company, focused on getting up to $5 million this year. So that's our goal this year.
Wow, that's a pretty big stretch goal for growth.
Yes,
increased by two. Is that 1.5 or 2 million?
That's going to be by pretty much a little bit more than 1.5 million.
A little bit more than 1.5. So, yep. I have a great question when it comes to
yes,
like that much growth.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say like one of your probably your most powerful lesson in growing and scaling with that large of a goal?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've done it in the past. Or what you're mm-hmm. currently going through right now, because we're, 3 months into the year?
Yep.
What's your most powerful lesson you've learned when you want to grow or scale that large?
Well, you know, we did have to take a few steps back. You know, we always hired for experience, you know, trying to find the guy with the most amount of years of experience. And that has bit us in the butt so many times. And so I just went towards hiring for culture, and it's worked out way better for us. You know, it does take a little bit more time, I guess, you know, setting things up and stuff like that and training and teaching, but it's the better way to grow the company. You know, they're going to be around, you know, you're going to want to work around them. They're not going to ruin the culture of the company. So that's something that's been a huge life lesson for me, is hiring a lot of employees with just the experience, and then knowing they would not fit the culture, and then keeping them on for way too long.
Yes, and we've all been there.
Yep.
So saying that you don't hire necessarily for experience.
Yeah.
What do you think about like resumes or references?
It's good. References are really good regardless. But they have to be professional references, because I get way too many references. They're like, oh, here's my brother, here's my sister, here's my aunt. She can say something good about me. And those are not good references. You have to make sure they're legitimate references. What I noticed works also is you ask all these questions, and then you tell them like, okay, you know, they give their answers, and they're like, would your boss say the same things that you just told me? And then you kind of listen to what they say. You like, okay, and then they'll kind of start to stutter, and you know, and then you know everything they were saying is probably a lie. Also, what I look for, like during the interview process, if they have a problem with every single company they work for, they're going to have a problem with you as well, no matter what. Because if they made problems with that boss fired them for that reason, and you know, that boss was cheating on them or cheating their pay or whatever, and then this boss did this to them, they're going to have that same energy and that same negativity against you. So we try to make sure, you know, if some, you know, people that are honest is a very big thing for me. Also, people that are positive, you know, people that are, you know, that I could see here and, you know, I could go out to lunch with and know I'd have a good time with them. And, you know, it's been definitely a journey and, you know, learning this as I go, because I started the company pretty young and, you know, as we're growing, making a lot of mistakes down the road and learning from them.
So let's talk about that. What do you think is the most significant mistake you've made as an entrepreneur? Like, which one's top of mind? You're like, oh, I shouldn't have done that.
Definitely managers, hiring managers that were, you know, very qualified for the job, and them just ruining the culture of the entire company, them coming in, stressing me out like crazy. You know, it's like that was probably my biggest mistakes, is hiring the wrong managers. And I think now we have such a good, you know, group right now of people in our office, like management level, that the guys respect. The guys could, you know, they'll jump in front of a bus for them. You know, they actually look out for each other, you know, and that's like, we haven't had that for such a long time because we were just hiring for experience, hiring the experienced managers and being like, okay, you know, they're going to be able to make us profitable. And it's like guys with 30 years of experience are making these stupid decisions. And I'm like, what the heck? You know, like you have 30 years of experience. Like I'm expecting you not to make these bad calls and, you know, these bad decisions. And it's like, it wasn't the experience. It was just them in general and them not fitting what we were looking for.
Well, I think we hold so much weight on experience. And in reality, I could have had 5 years of experience at sales, but I could have sucked.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
How do you know that I was good at it or I could lead a team
exactly.
or the caliber of team I led? So I think we hold too much weight in experience. And I love that you're hiring for culture.
Yep.
I think that's great. I just interviewed a company a couple of weeks ago. It's two or three companies, Maids and More, her name was Summer, and they're in Houston and Austin, and they have 120 technicians. They're approaching 5 million.
That's awesome.
And I was so impressed by the fact that every hire, or not every hire, but every management level or leadership level was an internal hire. They moved up from a cleaning technician.
That's awesome.
That's
our
awesome.
Goal. You know, that's our goal for sure. When we were hiring, you know, for managers as we're growing, that was the first thing we did is like, is do we see anyone here that could move up to that level first? And then if not, you know, let's start to outsource and figure out who we can bring in. And the people that I did bring in are people that I've already known before. So it wasn't like I went through, you know, Indeed or something. It was like people that I, you know, a friend of a friend, and I've known him for, you know, 5-6 years. And I'm like, I know he would be a really good fit here because I've known him for so many years. And it's like, that's definitely some of the hires that we did. We're like, we know he would do good here. Let's try to get him over here. And then,
so do you have friends or family that work for you then?
I do have some friends and family. Yes.
So how do you navigate that challenge? So do I. And that's a huge topic.
Yeah. Yeah. It is challenging. Because, you know, outside of work, you know, you are, you know, friends and family with these people. But at the end of the day, you have to understand that this is a business. And even though you're friends and family, but this is a separate business and we have to make the best decisions for the business. And so not always it's going to be great and, you know, all fun and games. You know, you have to make decisions in the company. You have to make sure you keep people accountable. And a big thing for us was making a big three for each position and keeping them accountable for those big three. And if
I
they're
love
not
the big three, by the way, that we learned that. Mm-hmm. Well, I learned that in Simple Growth and Mike Callahan's
Simple
Growth.
That's where I learned
group.
It.
It's a great theory. And explain what the big three is real fast so people know what they are.
So
what it is.
Pretty much they have their three biggest roles. How is it measured? You know, how's it, how does it, you know, match with the goals of the company and then the measurable for that pretty much. So, pretty much we have, for like office manager, we'll have one for project manager, for estimator, for designer, for our maintenance manager, for even our CSRs, our mechanic, and it kind of starts going down the line.
I love that. So, I love the, it's so simple because it's just the three, but it's so impactful for the other side, for the person that isn't sure, are they doing their job or am I doing a good job?
Exactly.
So that's great. I want to take it back to, you said you started this company. Did you start it from the ground up? Like you?
Yes and no, I guess. So we did buy out this company, even though it was nothing when we bought it out. Would I rebuy out this company? I don't know. Like it was realistically nothing when I bought it. You know, it's like one of those Craigslist deals where somebody's selling their company and they think it's worth something, but it was really not worth anything. So it was one of those deals. It would probably have been easier to just start from the ground up because you have to do so much to convert everyone over. That was a very difficult journey for me, you know, paying money for a business. and then having everyone cancel because we bought it in the fall time. And you know, usually when like a lot of companies out here in this area, we have contracts, year-round contracts. He didn't have year-round contracts, which, you know, I was definitely younger and not the brightest, I guess, at the time. So a lot of people canceled. I still owed money on the company, and it was definitely not easy getting through that time. But you know, we kind of figured it out. You know, the company's been established since 2003. Originally, so it's been around for a while, but it was always like an owner operator. So you know, I've owned it for about almost 10 and a half years, 11 years. So it's getting there. We've owned it for a while. We've grown it a ton. We have big ambitions and continue growing it, and we have a really good team around us that will help us continue growing it. And that's the biggest thing, is having a good team. Like, that was a big thing for me, is like, I always wanted to have a really good team around me, and I didn't have that for so many years until like these last couple of years, where I'm like, wow, like I really see like my fruits of my labor coming together now. And it's like, I really enjoy coming to work. I love everyone around me, and all my employees and everything. It's awesome.
So, you know, that being said, what would you tell the younger version of yourself? For any young entrepreneurs, what, you know, knowing what you know now, what would you tell yourself when you're just first starting out again?
Like I wouldn't change anything. I would say definitely, like, for myself, I think it definitely needed to be the way it was. It just, you know, I always try to make sure I learn from other people's mistakes and not make my own mistakes, but I made a lot of my own mistakes along the way. So sometimes it really does suck, but it builds character. It helps you down the road. Like,
we those, must have a lot of character then. Huh?
Those rough beginnings really do help you a lot. And you know, a lot of people, I guess there are not a lot of people, but there are some people that, you know, hit it off and, you know, find a great team right away. My biggest thing is, I wish I would have hired the right people around me earlier. I think we would have, you know, excelled a lot further, a lot faster. I would say that'd probably be the biggest thing, is really surrounding yourself with the right people. And the things that you're weak at, try to hire those out first. So, like, for instance, like, you know, I'm not good with bookkeeping and that kind of stuff. So hire out for those things first. And then I'm not, you know, I'm a good people person, but I'm not good at managing people. So hire out project manager first. You know, like, I was always good at selling and, you know, and getting work. And that was always something I was good at, and in hiring for your weaknesses around you, and then kind of just continue building your team from there.
Yeah. I suck at sales. So in my original home service company, sales was the first position I hired once I could afford any help. It was like,
yep.
First it was a call service, and then it was a salesperson after I got a little bit. I love that. So many entrepreneurs struggle with, so they struggle with hiring or even attracting or knowing what they want, even just knowing what they want. But you had said it, and we started from the beginning, and it's culture. It's your core values. And so many of us, and I'm guilty of this, dismissing those core values when we start, because there's so much burning down around us. There's so many, so much chaos, and the phone is ringing, and that we dismiss that. But at the end of the day, if you focus on that first, you can skip so many other mistakes. They're so important.
And also, I guess another thing I would do is let go of people a lot sooner, because I would keep on people, because I'm always a guy that advocates and, okay, you know, they screwed up, you know, let's give them another chance, and it'd be another chance, like 50 more chances, you know. And I'd give people too many chances, and then it's like, man, it's going to really hurt to let them go, because, you know, we're going to really struggle to find a replacement. And it's, you don't realize how much it's hurting you until you finally actually let them go. And you're like, then everything opens up even more, you know. Like, for instance, when I fired my project manager, and it was the worst, like, probably horror story, you know, firing ever, like, where he's like, I'm going to kill myself. You know, I don't know. I'm going to have to be out in the streets now. Like, I'm going through a divorce right now. This is, I thought you were my best friend. And like, and it was just like blowing up my phone nonstop. Like, really, really sucked. And then like, it was horrible for about, and why I remember too, because it was on my anniversary when I did it. I'm like, okay, I just need to get this over with, rip off the Band-Aid and just do it. And that was not a fun anniversary, that's for sure. And it lasted for about 2 weeks, and then it pretty much kind of dwindled down, and stopped hearing from him. And then all the stuff started opening up. Employees started coming up, thanking me for letting him go.
And you're like, why didn't you tell me that sooner?
Right? It's like, and then we'd hear from customers how like he would give them like a bunch of free work just so that they're happy with him, because they weren't happy with him before. So he would like give out a bunch of free work, like thousands and thousands of dollars to customers, just to keep him happy, even though we were already negative on a project, and giving out even more money. And and it just like it was definitely painful to let him go, but I don't regret, like anybody that I did let go, I never regret it.
So,
There's
what did you learn
go
from that experience?
ahead. That there's never going to be anyone else that's harder to fire than him. Right? But just in general, like what did I learn is that I shouldn't hold on to employees longer than I, and I actually heard this, I believe, and was it, I don't remember if it was you or if it was Debbie Sardon. The first time that you think about firing somebody is probably
Oh,
right.
it's you're right. Yeah.
Was that you or is that Debbie?
It's probably me in the talk I did
Okay.
about recruiting and hiring
Yes.
and firing.
And I'm like, man, that's so right, because there's always those employees where I'm like, oh man, I should probably let him go. And I'm like, oh, I'll just, let it be. And then like 6 months later, I finally end up firing him. I'm like, I should have fired him 6 months ago. And it was
So
like such a raw moment. And I'm like, you're probably right.
we have a new saying. We're saying we're going to promote them to a different company.
Yeah, that's really good.
Because firing is hard, and it's one of those things. As a business owner, it can go okay and it can go horrible, like you just said. And I think that it's one of those challenges that we face. And you'd be surprised at how many people I interview, and they're just like, "Oh, letting go of people, hiring for culture." There's a trend. If you listen to this podcast for our listeners, there is a trend of every successful business owner I have on here. They all talk about hiring for core values, firing fast, and focusing on getting the right team. And these are not planned. I mean, my questions are planned, but the answers are not planned for our listeners. And it's such a common trend.
Yeah, and a big thing that also with culture, I would say, and a big thing that made me open my eyes to culture was Simple Growth for sure. Like that helped me a ton, is like I was kind of lost when it comes to that, because I was just like, why are all these guys leaving? They're leaving for like 50 cents, a dollar more that another company's paying them. Ever since I started really focusing on our culture and letting go of the people that are not a good culture fit, we, for the last year and a half, 2 years, ever since I joined the Simple Growth Academy, I have not had a guy quit that I didn't want to quit first off. Like it was like I almost, like it was like the people that did end up quitting are like guys that I was already going to force out regardless, or end up firing, because they weren't a good culture fit and they already felt like they're not fitting in and they're already getting written up for certain things. Or like just in general, like we haven't had any good guys quit. And that's like a testament to that, just culture in general. Like you keep good guys, even though there's other companies that are willing to pay them more. They love working here because they like the culture here now. Like before, I would just have to rehire and rehire and rehire, retrain, rehire. And it was like just this constant battle that like that was so difficult, and that's so expensive for a company, just trying to retrain and re even find somebody. Like it's so hard. So that helped us so much, just in general, just improving our culture. We didn't even have any core values before. Like literally, like that wasn't, we had nothing. So we created all that like a year and a half ago, or I think it's actually been, yeah, a year and a half ago. So that
Our
was the first time
culture,
ever having it.
and that's crazy. I have a question for you. when it comes to culture and core values. But one thing I've noticed, we've worked so hard in one of our companies on culture that it actually pushes out bad hires. Like they're uncomfortable. They're like, you people are crazy. And they leave and you see that uncomfortability start to creep in because maybe they were good at interviewing. They looked good on a piece of paper. But that culture is so strong that they leave on their own. And it's a pretty good end. Like they're like, hey, this is not for me. Like, and you know, that's a great place to be in. I'm trying to get both my companies in that spot right now. But I have a really good question for you on this one. What would you say to my lawn care guys, right? I use SA, I'm in SA, I'm a certified advisor, love Mike Callahan. We do recruiting for like 200 or 300 lawn care companies. So I'm not knocking my lawn care guys. I love the green industry. But what would you say to those who don't think culture is important? Because it's kind of like this. In the green industry, like they're either like great with culture and they understand it and they're all in, or it's like this, I don't need it. Just come to work. I'm paying you a good paycheck. Just show up. Or they don't understand what culture is. Cause I think that sometimes in the green industry or well, in a lot of male dominant industries, they think that the guys don't want culture. They're like, oh, my guys would never do that. Like, oh, they don't want kumbaya and singing, but that's not necessarily what culture is, right? Like, oh, sunshine and rainbows. So how would you go to describe to maybe some of the people that are resistant or think their guys in the field don't crave that? What would be your response to that?
I call it crap. You know, like, it's something I thought, like, it's like either you're a hard worker or you're not a hard worker, you know? And of course, like that is part of culture as well. Like being, having a hard work ethic and being able to be efficient. That's one of our core values is efficiency.
Mine's hardworking. One of my core values is hardworking.
Yeah. It's not like, you know, you have to, you know, give hugs and, you know, like, you know, and it's all our guys, like every morning we give them fist pumps. Like everyone's, it's like a family, you know, every, like, of course we're going to have discussions and disagreements on things. But before when I would have disagreements, guys would walk out the front door. Now it's like we have disagreements. They're like, hey, you know, like we do have our disagreements. We'll figure it out type of deal. We'll just move forward from this and we'll get it figured out. Not we have our disagreements and we're walking out the front door because we don't respect you. We don't really like working here anyways. There was a podcast that I was watching and they were saying that it was like, man, I don't quote me on this, but I think it was like 90 or 85% of people that quit don't feel valued in the company. And that's a big thing with culture is making sure that people feel valued. And it's not even like a lot of people are not quitting for more money. A lot of times they're quitting because they don't feel valued. And money, of course, is a appreciation from a business owner to an employee showing them that, hey, thank you for doing this work and stuff like that. But, you know, we pay for performance, so we're a little bit different than some companies. And we just switched that over, and that's a whole separate thing.
Oh, we do pay for performance as well in my cleaning and organizing company.
But just in general, like, I didn't think culture was a big thing. And, like, to people, like, from the side, let's say that don't even own a company, they're like, well, okay, culture, like, come on. Like, you guys focus on culture. That's stupid, you know. And but if you look at all the biggest companies, that's the biggest thing that they preach is culture, culture, culture. And of course, you know, you could have a super good culture fit into your company, but he's not, doesn't have that hard work ethic and stuff like that. That means they're not fitting the culture as well. It doesn't have to always just mean, you know, because we've had really good guys here. Like, you know, it's actually a guy that I recently let go. Great culture fit. Like, he gets along with all the guys, he fits with all the guys, but he's just not able to keep up to the efficiency. And we've had multiple talks with him. And when we let him go, it wasn't like he was pissed off. He understood, you know, he walked out the front door, we shook hands, we wished each other the best. And we went along our ways. It wasn't like a, you know, verbal, bashing at each other. It was just like, "Hey, Vitaly, I wish you the best," and I'm like, "Hey, I wish you the best," and we just went along our ways. It wasn't anything horrible, and that's the thing. It's at the end of the day, it is a business. You're here to make money, but at the same time, you're here to make a team and have a great team built around you and make a good culture where people want to work. And when you
Yeah.
have a good culture, that's another thing is you start getting a lot more employees coming in the front door that you're not even looking to hire. They're just coming in because they hear about how good it is to work about your company. That's something that's been working really well for us, and we're having lots of guys talk really good, about our company, and we're having friends and family of, of our employees coming in and wanting interviews because they want to work here.
That's awesome. And that's like
So,
the greatest place to be in.
yeah, for sure.
So my last question is, you have three kids, right? Three kids,
Yeah, fourth one on
beautiful
the way.
wife. Oh, I didn't know
Yeah,
that. Okay.
it's kind of new, but yes.
wife trying to get from 2.5 to, or was it 3 to 5?
Yep.
So what keeps you motivated?
Well, I've always wanted to own a company my whole life, so it's something I've always wanted to do, but it was very difficult, and it is very awesome having a very understanding, loving wife at home. Of course, not every single day is sunshine, and when the kids get difficult at home and stuff like that, but being able to disconnect from work when you get home is a big deal for me. And it's not like I'm talking like I do it perfectly, and it's things I need to get better at, and I know I need to get better at, because sometimes it's hard to do that disconnect when you get home. But being able to disconnect from your phone and really just spend the time with your family, spend the time with your wife, is a really big deal, for her especially. Also for me, my kids, we have definitely been through a lot with starting this company and having a lot of very lows, and I've always, for me, like, I've always paid my employees first, then I pay myself, and there's been times where I'm like, crap, I don't have enough for this and this, what are we gonna do? At the end of the day, you always figure it out, and always that fear and all that stuff makes it a lot worse in your head than it actually is. And you always find a way to get through it. I've been in days that I'm like, man, I don't know if I can do it. And next day comes around and you figure out a way. So, there's
There's
been
this.
definitely ups and downs, but we're always working on the upward trend.
Yeah, there's this saying that it's all entrepreneurs, we go to sleep at night, right? And I got this because I looked at my watch one morning when I woke up, and we'll go to sleep at night. It's the fear, we're in our own heads, you can call it imposter syndrome, whatever you want to call it. You go to sleep and you wake up and it's like you reset to zero. Like it's almost like, and the reason I looked at it was I had looked at my watch when I got up to exercise, and everything was at zero, 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 zero. And I thought to myself, we just restart to zero every day. Like it doesn't matter what we're facing, what the challenge is, whether it's business or financial or even exercise or goals or eating. It's okay. Who cares about what happened yesterday? Because we restart to zero today.
That's
And you can
awesome.
take that challenge and face it and head on and just know that like every day I get to start to zero and don't judge myself off what I did yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Before we wrap up, any ex well, you've told us your goals for the 5 million and a baby on the way, but is there anything that you have in the works? Anything that we can expect to see from you? Anything kind of exciting that you want our listeners to know?
Man, I guess we have a bright future, we have a young, ambitious team, and that's the cool part is like is having a young, ambitious team, like knowing like just in our area, there's not a lot of younger companies in the uprise, and it's a really good feeling. It's a really good feeling having a lot of people that can support you, help you, and kind of get through the journey. And, you know, and I hope the best for every company and, you know, have them be successful. You know, there's going to be some lows, but, you know, it's all mental. You got to be mentally strong, get through those low times, and always find a way. You know, we pray every single morning, you know, make sure that, you know, we put our, you know, ask God for protection over our company, over our guys, any kind of injuries, accidents. So we are religious, and, you know, we try to make sure that, you know, we're not doing this alone. You know, we have each other's backs. You know, if somebody's struggling with something, we're gonna help you out. And it's a good feeling being in this place where we're at right now, and knowing to, like, when I was by myself for so long, and, you know, feeling like I have so much weight on my shoulders, and having where I can, you know, kind of take things off my chest, take weight off my shoulders, and have other people that can support me through these decisions and help me through that. So I really, you know, hope whoever's watching this podcast, I guess, can build a great team around them and expand and be in a better place where they can spend time with their families and loved ones, and not have to stress out and work 120 hours, you know, 24 hours a day.
So that is so true. So many entrepreneurs struggle. We've all been there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we just watching the people that we interview and interacting, I always tell people that there is light at the end of the tunnel. You have to mm-hmm. go through this journey. You have to fear these challenges. You have to face these fears. Because mm-hmm. if not, it's not going to condition you to deal with what's on the other side, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So I want to thank you, Vitaly, for being a guest
yeah.
on the Fearlessness podcast.
Thank you.
For our listeners, if you guys want to catch any of our other episodes, you can find them on libbyd.com or thefearlessness.com. And I also want to thank my sponsor, Woot Recruit, who helps me or who supports the podcast as well. And guys, so that's a wrap for a look into the heart of fearlessness. Remember, every step we take is a move towards our own strengths and our courage. Keep walking through those fires, because on the other side lies a version of ourselves that's unstoppable. I'm Libby, reminding you to embrace your fearlessness. Until next time, stay brave, stay bold, and keep pushing forward.